listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Hour number three of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's chat a little more football right now. We do so with one of our favorites, JLC, Jason LaConfora, who's kind enough to join us once again on CBS Sports Radio. JLC, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm okay, buddy. How about you?
Doing fantastic. So Brady last night loses. Season's over. The question becomes, will he be playing football next year? And what is your kind of your read on the next team maybe for TB12?
Well, I think he will play next year. People close to him, some of the same people who a year ago at this time were telling me heading into the playoffs that, hey, this dude's going to hang it up, which he did and then changed his mind, that they are very inclined to believe that he's going to keep playing, but it won't be in Tampa. And I wrote about this a month ago at the Washington Post, and basically reported that, hey, it's not going to be a re-up in Tampa. And there's only a small handful of teams that really make sense. And I think it's still probably those teams. How much sense they make, there's variables there. It's debatable. You're looking at Miami, right? I understand what they've said about Tua. And that's what they should be saying about Tua. But there's a lot that's very uncertain about Tua's future. And what is certain is that owner, who's not getting any younger, none of us are, already lost a first-round pick trying to get Tom Brady. So if Stephen Ross wants Tom Brady, and we know in the past Brady has been very open to the idea of playing in Miami, that I can't discount that possibility. The Raiders, it's over with Derek Carr. I don't think when Tom Brady left New England, it was at the height of his relationship with Josh McDaniels, but there's certainly a relationship there. They've been to the top of the mountain many times together. They speak the same language. I mean, you don't have to tweak the system. You don't have to change a thing. And they're loaded for bear offensively, short of another maybe couple of offensive linemen. He'll take a team-friendly deal. He's not worried about that. You can put the franchise tag on Josh Jacobs. And then, yeah, you got to get Mark Davis to try to help you buy your way to a decent defense. But on a fast track with all those pieces around him in the dome, climate controlled, I can see that. San Francisco, I don't know. This Brock Purdy thing doesn't look like a fluke. They're going to want some veteran on that team, but I don't know how that all shapes out. Obviously, Trey Lance, do they trade him? Some people I talk to in this league think they will. That's his hometown team. He grew up cheering for them. His family's there. I mean, look, but will it ultimately make football sense? Kyle Shanahan's wanted it before. Will he want him now? I don't know. I don't see him going back to New England. I don't see him going to the Jets. I don't see him playing for Robert Saleh. It's got to be the perfect combination of coach, experienced coach, or at least a coach who there's some ties to there, or who's done something in this league. The roster, the climate, the locale. Could Baltimore be a weird, odd dark horse if they do trade Lamar Jackson? And Tom Brady, talks to Peyton Manning and says, hey, it's not the worst thing in the world handing it off 30 times a game and knowing if you score 17 points, you're going to win, right? Because Baltimore will have the run game. They have the offensive line. And Lord knows all they really want to pay is defensive players anyway. So, it's not sexy, but, I mean, Peyton Manning lost his job to Brock Osweiler, still came back, got a ring. So, I think it's hard to come up with more than four or five teams where you could logically say, yeah, they could, they could possibly want him, and he's going to want them back.
Would you think the Raiders would be the most likely right now?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And the people I talk to in this league do. And it's been clear to some of them who've talked to Josh McDaniels late in the season that this move with Carr wasn't necessarily made, you know, to try to put some rookie in there, but more to have someone like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. You know, I mean, I think that's, like, I have a hard time thinking that they don't come away with one of those two.
Jason LaCofora here with us. How likely is it that Rodgers gets dealt this offseason? Because I keep on thinking he's going to be back in Green Bay next year.
No, I think he's dealt. I mean, if you listen to him today, I mean, he's already, season's not, you know, barely a week old, and he's already sort of contemplating, you know, I don't think I can win an MVP here, but I could win one there, then I'm going to probably think about it and maybe go there. I don't see him walking away from $60 million fully guaranteed. I don't see him walking off into the distance and just watching games from his couch and seeing if Jordan Love's any good or not. I don't think he's as much as he thinks of himself, he will concoct a million different reasons why what happened this year wasn't him. Even though, even when they went 4-1, he had a worse passer rating than Baker Mayfield. He had a worse passer rating than Desmond Ridder the final 6 weeks of the season. So when they were winning, he wasn't doing a damn thing about it. He was barely throwing the ball. He wasn't pushing it down the field. He was turning it over, and they ran it well, and they got big plays out of special teams, and they changed their defense. They fixed their defense. And it still wasn't enough to get in the playoffs, you know, in the NFC, which is pretty watered down outside of the East. So it can't be him, and he's not walking away from the money, and the Packers, he's worn them out. And GMs and execs I talked to around this league think it's a salary dump at this point. Like, it ain't going to take a whole lot to get Aaron Rodgers. You know, they eat a little bit of the contract. He's got to facilitate the contract to get around some of this dead cap and what have you. But, yeah, I think he wants to call his shot. He wants his Tom Brady moment. He wants to do what Brady did when he got to Tampa and shove it down the throats of the people you left and create this another chapter to your legacy.
If Rodgers does get traded, how alive are the Jets to go get Aaron?
I mean, look, Woody Johnson's going to be all over one of these kinds of quarterbacks if he can get him. I just don't know that they're going to want him back. I don't know. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't see it really right now. It'll be telling who the offensive coordinator is. Like, you know. And I don't really know what the hell Nathaniel Hackett did in Green Bay either. You know what I mean? Other than say, nice throw, Aaron. Like, oh, good form, Aaron. Oh, man, the film on that one's even better than the film on the one you threw 5 minutes ago, Aaron. But, like, I don't know if he can call a play to get his way to the 7-Eleven down the street to get a, you know, a sandwich, let alone, you know, figure out how to get to the end zone on Sunday. But, like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, do they start doing things like that kind of like what Denver was doing last year, to make that a more attractive locale if, in fact, he does want his way out. But I don't know, man. I don't know about him in New York. You know, like, it's the – you can't find a more completely diametrically different media market than the one he's spent his entire career in. Like, I don't know if he can handle – he can't go get a burger, you know what I mean, without it being on page six. I don't know. Like, part of me thinks that's exactly what he wants, but there's another part of me that just thinks even he has to know that that might not work.
JLC, Jason LaCofora here with us. You know where I actually think is a good destination, and if the owner is on his way out too, it makes it even more attractive? I think the Commanders have a good roster.
Yeah, they do. I don't really see it for Brady. I could see it maybe a little more for Rodgers than Brady. It is. I mean, there's some pieces there. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think, you know, the timing, the weird thing there, though, is that this, like, Dan Snyder's not doing that. You know what I mean? And, like, Dan Snyder's not going to be done until March. So, like, I don't, you know, these kind of moves, I think people will generally know by the combine where this kind of stuff is happening. Like, I don't know that we're, you know, we're getting to the league meeting in late March and we're finding out who's taking over the Commanders. And even then, that person might not really get their full, you know, they might not get full authority until the meeting in October. Like, I just don't know how long, you know what I mean, somebody like Aaron Rodgers is out there. Because, I mean, there's no way that Dan Snyder, from his yacht in Paris or whatever, I guess probably not Paris, but, like, the French Riviera, like, he's not saying, yeah, let's you know what I mean? Like, let's go all out to try to make a really complicated trade for Aaron Rodgers and then pay him $60 million. Like, I just... That they're not there as an organization right now.
Yeah, it definitely complicates thing. One thing from last night's game with the coaches, is now McCarthy definitely back next year, and what's the future looking like for Todd Bowles?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jerry at this point, had that gone the other way, had McCarthy been on the other side of that result last night, then I think we're talking about them trying to rush around, facilitate the Rooney Rule, and then promote Dan Quinn to head coach. I don't think that happens now. You know, and I, my suspicion is, you know, Todd Bowles and Jason Light, their GM, get sort of a year to see what it looks like with somebody else. And, you know, there's got to be some recalibrations there to the cap and to the roster. And they might want to look at that before they go out and, you know, do a full-throated coaching search and really figure out, what life without Tom Brady looks like. I wouldn't say that it's a guarantee that he's back, but I'd be surprised if he's not.
So you do a daily talk show inside the Odyssey family in Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
What is the actual real news with Lamar Jackson? What's going on with Lamar?
I mean, it's a broken relationship. It's a marriage that looks like it's on the verge of dissolving. It looks like a relationship that's run its course, and I would be shocked if they don't tag and trade him. The players of this stature don't reach this point in their contract without ever making a single penny beyond what the collective bargaining agreement, a CBA that I guess was originally negotiated back when he was probably in fifth grade. Like, if you really want to play around, there's a whole bunch of different ways you could show him. You know, telling him go out there and win me a Super Bowl, son, and I might think about paying you. And then having him get hurt again in the pocket, not freelancing, not being a running back, Polian, but playing quarterback. Like, and you know, it's happened twice. And when you don't have any future guarantees and you've allowed this to fester and go as long as it has, then, yeah, people are going to start wondering what's going on here, what's going on there. But, like, he's very astute. He understands what's going on around him. He's seen all the things they've whispered, heard all the things they've whispered, seen all the kind of stuff that's been propagated in the press that's not coming from him. And, you know, I think he's had enough. And I think they probably, frankly, have had enough. And the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman's not coming back. And they only really want to win 17-14 anyway. Like, they don't, you know, they just paid a linebacker. Chicago, like, this guy went to Chicago, held out, couldn't get what he wanted. He comes here for 6 weeks to make him the highest paid guy in the history of his position. And if you don't think the timing of that was, if you think that was a coincidence, I mean, that they couldn't have waited until after the playoff game? Like, really? Like, I mean, it just is what it is. That's their new face of the franchise. That's their new hero. And it's all about the defense. And they never got Lamar much of a supporting cast. They won't pay for receivers. They don't really want to pay for quarterbacks. They have certain philosophies that they seem bound and determined to prove right. And in the meantime, you know, the caliber of sort of the attractiveness of the football seems to be headed back to, you know, the the early 2000s when, you know, they're winning with Trent Dilfer and trying to suffocate you 10-9 every week. Like, you know, they didn't get him a wide receiver at the deadline. They went and got a linebacker. You know, like, it is what it is. They are who they are. And this looks pretty broken.
Wrapping up with Jason LaCafora, what's your understanding of the Sean Payton situation? Is he going to take one of these jobs? Is he going to offer one of these jobs, or is he going to sit out this year?
It's far from a certainty, you know. This is a smaller field than some expected, and a lot of these jobs don't check.
They're not attractive, well, a lot of them.
Yeah, they don't check close to all the boxes that he would want. So, again, if you read me in the Washington Post, I told you guys weeks ago, I would bet against the field. I would bet against any of these particular teams. And I would bet on, unless a surprise job opened up, like the, you know, Chargers, that he would wait it out, because some of these jobs that he really likes that aren't opening now, they'll probably be open by November.
Is it more telling of the Panthers right now that last week Ben Johnson was the leading candidate to get this job, and today, according to Tom Pelissero, he took his name out of the running for all jobs, or is it just more so that these jobs, like we're talking about, the five that are available aren't the most desirable?
Well, I think Ben Johnson in particular is somebody who has a really good chance next year at this time to be the it guy. You know what I mean? To be the hottest offensive side, you know, play calling guru of the field and kind of call his own shots.
Kind of like Daboll, because Daboll didn't get a job right away, and it seemed like he was patient.
Yeah. I mean, Daboll, we've seen it in the past with Adam Gase. Didn't work out so well. You know, like we've seen it with McVay.
Yeah.
You know, even the year Zach Taylor ended up in Cincinnati. I mean, Denver really wanted him. Arizona would have hired him, you know, and he chose Cincinnati. So, yeah, I think he will be in a much more highly leveraged spot and be able to flex his muscles a little bit more and maybe have, you know, two or three owners chasing him around next year.
Jason Lockefora, make sure you read him, Washington Post. You can listen to him each and every afternoon in Baltimore, also on the Odyssey app for 105.7 The Fan. We appreciate the time as always. Great stuff.
My pleasure, buddy. Have a good night. Thank you.
There you go. A lot of stuff to react to on the other side from JLC. We'll do that when we return in 5 minutes on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So I think there is kind of probably more than three, but just three takes that I'll give you on Jason Lockefora just joining us a few moments ago. Number one, he believes Brady is playing football next year. We're all in agreement there. But Hickey, he said he believes, and he went through a bunch of destinations. He ruled some out, like the Jets, and then there's others that he said are alive for Tom Brady. And he talked about Miami being one, but then I followed it up. Who's the most likely? Is it the Raiders? And he said yes. And today, if you would have told me 3 weeks ago, Brady's playing for the Raiders, I would not dismiss it right away. I just would not think it's likely. If he's not going back to Tampa Bay, and that's the big question. It seems like he's not going back to Tampa Bay, but if this is not a way to negotiate to get certain things to go his way, which could be a possibility, but let's just say he's not going back to Tampa Bay, I look at the options available. What do you have? Tennessee? Miami? You have the Raiders and then the 49ers. Like, let's just look at those four. I don't know if the 49ers are going to go get Brady. You know, he would love to go. That'd be option one. The Dolphins? Yeah, they could definitely be in play. But, I don't know if the league tries to push back on that. But then the Dolphins already did the time, as I say this in air quotes, for the crime with the whole Brady-Sean Payton scenario. So I guess that could still be in play. Tennessee, other than the relationship with Vrabel, and you have Derrick Henry, I don't think that's that attractive. So I'm going around those destinations. It's kind of like process of elimination. I thought it was – he mentioned the Ravens. If Lamar gets traded, maybe he goes there, hands the ball 30 times a game, low scoring, you win 17-14. Ugh, I would not want to see Brady in a Baltimore uniform. That's just me. But the more and more I think about it, with the relationship with McDaniels, you have to beef up the offensive line. You got Davante Adams. You can franchise tag Josh Jacobs. Darren Waller you have there. Hunter Renfro, perfect slot receiver, right, that you could use for Tom Brady. I know the defense is not good. And I know you're going into the AFC West, where that's a tough division. Even though Denver was down this year and the Raiders were down, Chargers, I know that there are some limitations maybe with Staley there, but they have the potential. The Chiefs, we know, are the kings, you know, the king of that division. And Brady, he beat Mahomes before in an AFC title game and a Super Bowl. So I don't think Brady fears Mahomes. I look at the Raiders, and I'm not saying it's a lock, but right now, if I had to make a prediction today in the moment, I'm kind of thinking that it's going to be the Raiders, Hickey.
I get the McDaniels connection. I like the, if it's not going to be Tampa, I kind of like the Miami suggestion from JLC.
It's not a bad one.
Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill. Now you got to get a run game because they struggle to run the ball at a consistent pace, kind of similar to what Tampa Bay did. Now no one is as bad as Tampa running the ball.
Their defense took a step back. That's the biggest difference. Like, the offense ascended with Mike McDaniel when Flores left, but the defense also went the other way.
The reality is, outside of San Francisco, every team or any team in the mix for Tom Brady is going to have some big-time flaws that has to be addressed. Like I said, the Raiders with the defense, offensive line, the Dolphins with the defense as well. Like, the 49ers is the only roster
Tennessee, any better receivers,
ready to go, perfect quarterback, and basically don't touch anything else.
Yeah.
And like I said, with Brock Purdy having success, maybe they're not even the Tom Brady sweepstakes.
So I've been saying ever since McCaffrey got traded, and I said this to Peter King the day after the trade, and Peter King dismissed it to his credit. But I said Brady to the 49ers, I keep on entering that conversation. Now at the time, no one knew, right, who Brock Purdy was. And look at what Brock Purdy's doing now. I guess for Brady to re-enter the conversation with the 49ers, we need to know how their season ends. That's what we'll say with the 49ers. Could they be the top team if they lose this weekend? I think that makes Brady very much alive to go join the San Francisco 49ers. But you could say, you could really penalize Brock Purdy after one game. But then you could also say, are you really going to roll the dice with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance and all that? Like, who knows? So I guess we got to see what happens with the Niners before we can address everything else. Is there a chance he goes back to Tampa? I don't think it's likely, but maybe there's some negotiation tactics being played right now. But right now, today, with what we know, I would say that it's going to be the Raiders. Now, the Rodgers stuff. The last 2 years, leading into this year, year number three, I've been on the train and leading the train that Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. Now, a few weeks ago, I said next year will be Rodgers' final season in Green Bay, and they'll move on after that. JLC is convinced that Rodgers is done in Green Bay, and he did reference that clip of Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, saying he still thinks he could play at an MVP level, but listen to the way that Rodgers said it.
Do I still think I can play? Of course. Of course. Can I play at a high level? Yeah. The highest. I think I can win MVP again in the right situation. Right situation, is that Green Bay or is that somewhere else? I'm not sure. But I don't think you should shut down any, you know, opportunity. Like I said, during the season, it's got to be, you know, both sides, you know, like actually wanting, you know, to work together moving forward. And I think there's, you know, more conversations to be had. I think no player wants to be part of any type of rebuild. I said that years ago. Reloads are a lot of fun because you feel like you're close. You're only a couple guys away.
After hearing that clip, Hickey, and Rodgers has already had his exit meetings and conversations with Brian Gutekunst, maybe he's unsure of the direction that the Packers are moving in. Like, I don't know how clear that conversation was. You would think you'd have transparent, honest conversations to some extent. But maybe that's Rodgers getting a vibe of either they said, we'll go get you number one wide receiver and he doesn't believe it, or we really like Jordan Love, we're inching closer and closer. Like, I don't know what the Packers are saying, but Rodgers, I can't trust what he's saying either. Because it seems like for the last 3 years, whenever the season ends, he gives some bizarre press conference or does some bizarre interviews that, and this is coming from someone that thought he was going to stay the last 2 years in Green Bay, that makes you feel like he's going to leave, but every year he doesn't leave. So I don't know how to, like, I get the people that are going to read into those comments and say, that sounds like a guy that hates the Packers and wants out and doesn't believe that they are going to go give him a chance to win a championship. And you're not crazy for thinking that. It's impossible not to think that. But knowing the person we're dealing with and how many kind of ways that he handles the end of the season, I would always seem so negative and blaming someone else and making it seem like he's not going to come back. And until he's not with Green Bay, I'm going to believe that he's going to be there next year. Now, that's just me. But I know you're vastly different on that stance that I have. You think he's donezo.
Third time's a charm, yeah. Saying this is the first offseason where the Packers
to
actually
be clear, just to make sure that so everyone knows, Hickey predicted the last two offseasons that
that's right.
He was gone. That's why he said third time's a charm.
But the difference is the last 2 years, the Packers wanted him back. I thought Rodgers was going to say thanks, but no thanks.
Mm-hmm.
This is the offseason, I think, where they said, you know what? Aaron, thanks, but we're good. I think they're going to pass on Aaron Rodgers. I think this is the offseason where the Packers finally come to my thinking and saying, we're going to move off of Aaron Rodgers, which they did not do the last 2 years. And that's why I think he's going to be traded.
Now, Christian Watson is a good young receiver in this league. Is it? And I know you can't just wait this long to make those games. Well, you could always then wait and see, and then, you know, okay, you go get a trade. It may eliminate some options for you. But maybe he went to them and said, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be available. Or we've seen in years, right, from Stephon Diggs to last year, Davante Adams, Rodgers knows it better than anyone, Tyreek Hill, guys that we didn't think were going to get traded. Now, Diggs was a little bit different. We knew Diggs was going to get traded. He wanted out. Tyreek Hill, we didn't expect him to get traded. Davante Adams, when Rodgers came back, we thought he was going to stay. Nope, Davante Adams said he was leaving. He wanted to leave. He wanted to get out on a trade. I know that, I guess they flirted with Darren Waller before. Is that enough? I think Rodgers is maybe giving off the vibe. He needs to, no pun intended here with Jordan Love, but he needs to be shown the love here this offseason in terms of you keep on bringing in these guys that were hoping turn into good receivers or hoping they're a shell of themselves. And it seems like he wants that offense to be significantly improved for next year, or he will try to force a way out via a trade. Now, the last one, Lamar Jackson. Now, JLC lives in Baltimore, does a daily talk show in Baltimore. And Jason LaCofora basically said he thinks Lamar wants this relationship to be over. He thinks the Ravens are okay with this relationship ending. And he said tag and trade this offseason. Now, I've been saying that if the deal doesn't get done this offseason, I don't think it will ever get done. And I thought to myself about a month and a half ago that he get tagged this year, they play him this year, then next year tag him again, then trade him because you don't want him to walk for nothing. You can't just let him walk for a compensatory third-round pick. With how weird this situation feels, where we know there's frustration on both sides, but we don't know actually what the frustration is about. Like, I do believe that Lamar Jackson, and I didn't always think this way, but I believe that after you hear more about the injury, that Lamar Jackson did not play this weekend mainly because of the injury. But then you have Sammy Watkins basically speculating that he could play. So, like, I don't know what the deal is necessarily there, but I tend to believe Lamar was actually hurt, and that's why Lamar Jackson did not play. But I don't know if the Ravens believe that because they're either frustrated that he's hurt and he can't go because that eliminates them from winning a Super Bowl, or they don't actually believe that he's as hurt as he is to prevent him from playing. Now, the first year when they tried to get this deal done, it made sense for Lamar not to get the deal done. Last year, it didn't make sense on either side not to get this deal done. So I don't think year number three of going in these negotiations that a deal's going to get done this offseason. So it's either going to go two ways. One, they trade him this offseason on the tag, or two, they play him and then trade him next offseason. But I think we either saw Lamar Jackson play his final snap in Baltimore already, or he's only going to play one more year. And that's probably the best way to say it in this scenario. But I would be stunned, Hickey, if we get a breaking news alert this offseason that the Ravens agreed to a long-term extension with Lamar Jackson.
like JLC pointed out, I mean, they gave Roquan to the $100 million after six games. Like, they didn't rush to give him a mega deal for a middle linebacker when their quarterback has been kind of now, you know, out, and there's been contract talks now for 2 years going on 3 years, and there's been kind of really no hay made whatsoever.
And then also the Lamar post from the other day, when you have something good, you don't play with it. You don't take chances losing it. You don't neglect it. When you have something good, you pour into it. You appreciate it, because when you take care of something good, that good thing takes care of you too. That seems like a guy who's saying, the Ravens do not appreciate me. They have not taken good care of me. So if you want to keep on playing this game, I'm done playing for your football team. When I read that message, like, Rodgers, I have no clue what he's going to do, because he says all this vague stuff and he's always come back to Green Bay. For Lamar, we have sensed the last 2 years where it's been conflicting messages. Do the Ravens want to get the deal done? Then the Ravens are saying Lamar doesn't want to get the deal done. Lamar says he wants to get the deal done, and they don't get the deal done. So then it opened up my mind to thinking more, maybe this is the Ravens that really don't want to get this deal done, when I always thought it was just Lamar. But now you're seeing Lamar basically say via post, they don't respect me. They don't want to take care of me. And for a guy that's been doubted a lot in life, I think he has a big chip on his shoulder, and I don't blame him. Right? It was stupid how teams, you know, Bill Polian said that he needed to be a wide receiver and he should move to wide receiver. That was dumb. The guy won a Heisman. Not just because you win a Heisman in college doesn't mean you're going to go on to be a great NFL quarterback, but you should get a chance. And the guy wins unanimous MVP early. And now you have a guy that has won a unanimous MVP. Question what you want with his lack of playoff success and then also his health. But you would have thought that a deal would have got done by now. And he's got to be annoyed that he doesn't have a true number one wide receiver there either. So I think the Ravens right now, by not getting a deal done, really this last offseason and the frustration of this season, I believe that Lamar's thinking to himself, he has no choice but to tell the Ravens, if we don't get a deal done this offseason, and I don't even know if he wants to get a deal done at this point, to go out there and trade me. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we'll do a little overreaction, a proper reaction.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
No. And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All right, Hickey, what do you got for me?
All right, Zach, we have a change in the desert in the NFC. Vegas has now shifted the 49ers to the favorites to win the NFC conference. They have catapulted ahead of the Eagles. So overreaction or prop reaction, Zach, to say the 49ers are your favorites to win the NFC?
I'm still going with Philadelphia. Like, when I'm going to say overreaction here, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world because the 49ers haven't lost since they were 3-4. But I'm still leaning on the home field advantage that Philadelphia will have. And the one concern you could have with Philly is the health of their quarterback in Jalen Hurts. But until I see Jalen Hurts struggle this weekend and not play well in a game that you have to have, I'm still going to lean with Philadelphia, especially with them, in order to get to a Super Bowl, have two home games at Lincoln Financial Field.
Wild card weekend ended with an absolute ass-kicking. The Cowboys took it to the Buccaneers 31-14. Dak Prescott, 5 total touchdowns. Cowboys defense is all over Tom Brady. He forced his first red zone interception in 409 attempts. Got to go all the way back to 2019. He was a member of the Patriots.
Announcer's jinx.
Last time that Tom Brady threw an interception in the red zone, ESPN had it. I think it was like at 407 at that point. So one or two passes before then, they mentioned the streak, the longest in NFL history. And like you mentioned, what do you know? Boom, interception.
Real quickly before you ask me the question, because I see people with how the over-under was last night. Oh, Brett Maher. He must have got paid off to miss all those kicks. How could you miss 4 extra points? Just never happens. And then you see the stat on the screen, and then all the next sudden, Brady throws a pick. I don't think the NFL is rigged, but I could see why some people believe that the NFL is rigged.
Poor Brett Maher.
Like, you can't even, in the same game, you have Maher missing those kicks, and then the Brady stat that flashes on the screen, it's like almost too good to be true.
That is for sure. That is for sure. Overreaction or prop reaction? You were impressed with the Cowboys' dominant victory over the Buccaneers.
Proper reaction. Now, if you were like me that went with Tampa Bay but didn't feel good about it, I would not have thought that either of these teams would have had a blowout victory. Now, I've been saying for the last 2 months, and I'm the biggest Brady fan there is, that I didn't believe in this Tampa Bay team. And I went against my word, and I just picked them to get like a 3-point victory up against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if Dallas would have won that game like 17-14, we're not sitting there today and talking about how great the Cowboys are and really singing their praises. But since they blew them out, that is impressive to me. Because how many times the Cowboys, whether you think they're an underdog or you think they're a favorite, end up in a big moment just absolutely projectile vomiting all over the place. And last night, other than the kicker, Brett Maher, they were dominant in the game. They played almost a perfect game on defense and on offense. And I got to give a lot of credit to Dak bouncing back. I got a lot of credit to McCarthy. Actually, this is crazy to say, having his team prepared for a big game this year, which he didn't last year. I'm impressed because of the style and the fashion in which it went down. I said this earlier. I'll say it again. I'm not telling you right now. I'm picking the Cowboys. It's Tuesday. It's early. But on the spread, 4.5, 3.5, we got to see where it closes. I think the Cowboys are very much alive in San Francisco, which is something, if you would have asked me that last week, I'd be like, no way, no how, not going to happen. I think Dallas has a shot this weekend.
On the other side of that game,
I got to wash my mouth out after just saying that, because I'm usually leading the charge of the drama Dallas choking Cowboy ship, and now I think I may be getting told to walk the plank. And I think Hickey may be wearing the captain's hat and saying, I am the captain now.
Captain Hook, you're out of here. You're Peter Pan. You're walking the plank. Tom Brady on the other side. Could this have been his final game? After the game was over, he did run off the field. Take that for what you will. There's no looking around. There's no teary eye kind of taking one last look in what could be the last time on an NFL field as a player. In the postgame press conference, he said he's going to get a good night's sleep and take it one day at a time when talking about his future. So overreaction or proper reaction, say that Tom Brady will be playing football in 2023.
Real quickly, I do think we forget about the human element of this too. And clearly Brady was going through things this year, and you even kind of saw it in his appearance. You wonder how locked in he was. And even if he wanted to get divorced or not, that has to take a toll on someone when you're with together for that long, even if you wanted to get the divorce and knew that the relationship needed to end. So I do think that this was really the first time that you've seen publicly Brady's personal life interfere with his professional life. So I don't know if you got the best version of Brady this year, because even though you would never question how locked in Brady was, I think there were times this year where he wasn't that locked in because he was distracted by things that are, quite frankly, more important. But in terms of football, I do believe the biggest difference from last year's version of Brady, which led the league in passing and passing yards, to this year's version of Brady was that the offensive line wasn't healthy. And whenever you see Brady perform poorly, it's because the offensive line isn't there and he's getting hit, and then that's when he gets rattled. So I do think Brady, the question was overreaction, proper reaction. Is Brady playing next year?
Will be playing football in 2023. Overreaction, proper reaction.
Yeah, I think he will be playing football in 2023. I think it will be somewhere other than Tampa. I don't think it's likely he goes back to Tampa. It seemed like that was a goodbye last night in Tampa. Could that be a negotiation tactic? I guess. But I think he's going somewhere else, and I think he's going to be able to be more locked in on football this year when you're starting to move further and further away with now being divorced in that relationship that is no longer there between him and Giselle, other than being on the same page just in terms of when you see the kids and all that, and she's still the mother of your children. But I think it makes it a little bit easier this offseason for Brady, where Giselle clearly wanted him to retire, and now he knows if he wants to play football, he could be fully locked in on playing football.
Overreaction or proper reaction? The Minnesota Vikings suffered the most disappointing loss on Wild Card Weekend.
Ooh, good question. So can't really be that disappointed with Seattle. Can't be disappointed with Baltimore. I didn't like the way that McDaniel handled it down the stretch, but you expected them to lose. Tampa, they were 8-9, so it's really between the Chargers and the Vikings, and I'm going to go overreaction that Minnesota suffered the most disappointing loss of the weekend, and here's why. Their defense stunk. Their offense played well, but if you would have told me the Chargers would have lost heading into the weekend, okay, I could see it. I think we both picked the Jaguars plus a point and a half on the show Friday. But if you told me that the Chargers would be up by 27 points, 27-0, and they would lose, I would say that you need to go get a drug test. So the Chargers had the most disappointing loss of the weekend in the fashion that it went down.
The four divisional round games are all set now. We have Jaguars Chiefs on Saturday afternoon. Saturday night is Eagles Giants. Sunday afternoon, Bengals Bills. And then the nightcap on Sunday is now 49ers and Cowboys. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Eagles are the team divisional round weekend on the highest upset alert.
That's an overreaction. I think the Eagles will win the game. I think the Giants will keep it close. I just think the Cowboys are more alive than the Giants. Even though I think the Bills are going to win, the Bengals just got to a Super Bowl last year. I don't think Kansas City's going to lose. I haven't given a thought how close I think that game is, but I just think there's a greater chance that the Bengals or the Cowboys win than it would be that the Giants would take down the Eagles.
And finally, overreaction or proper reaction, the Buccaneers should fire Todd Bowles.
I would think that's a proper reaction, but with that being said, I don't think Todd Bowles is going to lose his job. Because I think Brady's leaving. I think they'll go with Bowles for another season. He's not a good head coach. He's just a guy that's a great defensive coordinator. But if Brady says, I'll come back if Todd Bowles is gone, then that's a way that Todd Bowles will lose his job. But I do think they should get rid of him because I don't think he's that good of a head coach. But will I think he loses his job this offseason? I do not. I do think he will be back in Tampa next year, and I just think he'll have to find a way. Couldn't really operate life with Tom Brady. I think he's going to have to find a way to operate life without Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, and at once, Champa Bay. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we have to talk about the biggest stories of the day with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. And you'll hear on the other side from Tom Brady, Todd Bowles, Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, Monty Ostenfurt, and also Aaron Rodgers as well. You could always give us a call at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And you could follow the Zach Gelb Show on Instagram and Twitter, where we give you a lot of behind-the-scenes content, a lot of interviews and segments that we end up posting as well, at Zach Gelb, Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And if you follow me, you may see some content this weekend at NFL stadiums. I don't know where I'm going. There's a chance I go to Philadelphia for Giants and Eagles. There's a chance I go to Buffalo for Bills, Bengals. There's a chance I go nowhere. It's all to be determined, but chance I go to two games, one game, or I just sit on my couch and enjoy football like everyone else does. Coming on back with the news brief.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.